We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Albert, how are you, man? Everybody, the world's going crazy right now.
Here you go.
Over what?
Well, we've gotten a call who said that Victor Cruz is better than Odell Beckham Jr.
That's a little nuts.
Well, Victor Cruz was excellent in his first season.
Yeah, Victor Cruz is a winning player.
Well, but here's the thing, Albert. Listen, come on. All of a sudden, wide receivers determine whether the team wins or loses?
No.
I mean, everybody on the Browns is a loser. Everybody on the Browns is a loser. Nobody's won on this team.
I made this point to you guys before. I mean, I 100% believe it. And you guys tell me, what was more relevant this year? The Browns are bad at left tackle or that they were good at receiver?
They were
bad at left tackle was way more relevant than they were good at receiver, right?
That's true.
Yes.
Look at the way the Super Bowl teams are built. Okay? Look at what those two teams have at tackle. The Niners have maybe a Hall of Famer at left tackle, a former first-round pick. Mm-hmm. At right tackle, they've got a first-round pick. What do the Chiefs have at tackle? They have a first overall pick at left tackle and a high-priced free agent who you guys actually used to have in Cleveland at right tackle.
I blew that one. Yeah.
So, like – I'm with you 100% on that. Like, I don't think there's any question that the way the team was built from the outside in just doesn't make a ton of sense when you look at it in retro. And I know people get all worked up about the shiny toys that, you know, you put around the quarterback and then he gets to throw to. Dustin, you know this as well as anybody. If you're not solid up front, like, you don't have a chance.
You're going to have problems, no question. What do you think? I mean, the whole conversation we've had, Albert, has been – today on Odell, like, should they trade him? Remember, we had a conversation at dinner the other night about this.
Right.
And like, half the table thought yes, half maybe thought don't know, give it a shot. The Browns' voice, Jim Donovan, was on his TV show this week, and he says he thinks the Browns should trade him.
Yeah.
And so we've kind of played that clip today. What do you think?
Here's the problem. The problem is that, like, you hired Kevin Stefanski as your head coach, and you want to empower him as much as you can. And I think one of the issues that you presented for Freddie, like, in trading for Odell last year, was the way that he was enabled.
Yeah.
And it was never, like, I don't know how much it was even up to Freddie to have the ability to go and antagonize and be tough on Odell Beckham. And look, I know that the stuff in the spring is voluntary, but it matters showing up to stuff like
that. It does. And I don't know that Odell's going to show up this year.
And you know what bugs me about it? Like, people act like the way that these guys handle themselves, it doesn't matter. You are who your best players are. I've heard so many great coaches say that. Like, however your best players act, that's probably who your team is, right? And the bottom line is that Odell Beckham does not have a choice. He's going to be a leader one way or the other. And he may wind up leading people in the wrong direction. And trust me, I covered Randy Moss. I covered Terrell Owens. I saw those guys on a day-to-day basis. And you know what I noticed being around those guys? There were 22-year-old guys in those locker rooms that looked at those guys like they were gods, right? Because when they were kids, when they were teenagers, they would play with those guys on Madden, you know? And so they looked up to those guys, and they watched the way those guys carried themselves, and they watched what those guys were trying to get away with, and then they watched what those guys could get away with. And because those guys had the money that they wanted, they had the fame that they wanted, they looked at those guys like, that's the example, right? Like, and so I think in most cases, in most organizations, like, whoever your best players are, and the way these locker rooms work, they're ranked by fame. They're ranked by money. Everybody in those locker rooms is keeping score. And Odell Beckham is going to be at the top of the food from a salary standpoint. He's going to be at the top of the food chain from a fame standpoint.
Sure.
And so however he conducts himself is going to rub off on the rest of your team, and there's almost nothing you can do to stop that. And you saw it in New York. I think you saw it in Cleveland to a degree last year. And unless you're convinced that he's really going to turn it around and he's going to be there during – the spring, and he's going to be one of the hardest workers on the team in the summer, and he's going to be with the program, I think you almost owe it to your head coach to discuss the idea of trading him.
I don't know.
I mean, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get it. I think we got to know, like, right, what does the coach think? What does he think about what the guy – if the guy's a cancer in the locker room, as some caller said, well, yeah, you don't want him here, but you're getting nothing in return. So unless you think this guy's really causing to lose, it's an issue.
Let me give you an example. The 2016 Giants, right? So they go, whatever it was, 11-5, make the playoffs. Then the whole thing happens with the boat. People acted like that wasn't a big deal because a lot of people are like, well, he's a grown man. He can do whatever he wants, right? Well, what happens early the next year? Okay, like early on in the year, you had the dog peeing celebration, right?
That's right. Yeah.
And like that wound up costing the team in the game, you know. And like after the game, if I remember right, Odell did something against Detroit also, and Ben McAdoo got up during the press conference and was like saying how there was like nothing wrong with what Odell did, even though he was like costing the team those situations.
Yeah, it's enabling.
Do you guys think it's any coincidence that over like the month after that, Janoris Jenkins went off the reservation, Eli Apple went off the reservation, Dominique Rogers-Cromartie went off the reservation?
If Odell can get away with it, then
it's not just Odell.
See, here's the thing though, Bull. If you let him get away with it, then everybody else is gonna like that's the thing. Is like am I saying he's actively splitting the locker room? No. But if he doesn't care about the rules
and he gets special treatment
and he's just doing whatever he wants and he's getting special treatment and you have to give him special treatment for him to stay in line and be on the team, well then, you know, that creates bigger issues for you. I'm not saying he's actively a cancer, but it's if you treat one person differently, then you have to be prepared for other people seeing how far they can push the bounds too. And I think when you're bringing in a head coach who's in his 30s, who's only been a play caller for 1 year, who was a position coach 13 months ago, that's a tough position to put the coach in where it's like, I got to worry about this one player. And if this one player continues to be who he's been for the last 6 years, we're inviting problems into our locker room. I mean, it's just, again, like, I think it's got to be about empowering the head coach, and I think it's hard. Odell makes it harder to do that.
I don't disagree with anything you said, Albert, but I think you also have a quarterback who's getting special treatment and a quarterback who's a spoiled
brat. Well, don't give
him
special treatment.
Yeah, you shouldn't. Nobody should get special treatment, including Odell Beckham, including Baker Mayfield. Tom, Albert and I were just talking about, and Dustin, we were talking about Odell Beckham Jr., so I'll put it to you. Would you, if you're the Browns, even though you're getting pennies on the dollar, would you move on from Odell Beckham?
You're going to have to figure out what the value is out there. I mean, culturally, I get it that you have to evaluate that. And I certainly think that who they bring in to be the general manager is going to influence that. I mean, you're going to get certain people who are going to have different opinions on whether or not that's a workable situation. Stefanski's shown that he can work with a variety of different personalities. And he was really well respected in the Vikings locker room, well liked in the Vikings locker room. He's never had anybody quite like Odell, though, and so those are things you're gonna have to evaluate. Dustin's doing nothing here, by the way.
We have a one man peanut gallery here in the hotel room,
guys. I've been working with Dustin for 8.5 years. I'm used to him sitting there doing nothing. I mean, it's you know, I'm used to it. You know, you say they didn't have Odell Beckham. Obviously, you know, Stephon Diggs certainly not Odell Beckham, but you know he. Stephon Diggs was unhappy this year. Even Adam Thielen early in the year was a little unhappy with his, you know, target share to some degrees. They were running a lot early. Do you think that guys, Bob, put it to both of you, do you think that experience that Kevin Stefanski had, again, those guys aren't the stars that Odell is, but having to deal with some of that early in the year when Cousins was struggling a little bit early before he took off, is that help him potentially deal with Odell?
I mean, I think it'd help. Like, you know, dealing with guys at that position, look, naturally, it's a hard position for coaches to deal with because, you know, a huge part of their job is running dead sprints and not getting the ball. So there's just that natural part of the position that you have to manage guys to some degree. I do think, and Tom, you can speak better to this because, you know, you're down the road from them, but I think that Stefanski, you know, was with Diggs and Thielen from the time they were rookies, and I know he wasn't coaching their position, helps because it's not like those guys were coming into – like, it's not like Kevin Stefanski walked into the building and those guys had all of this, like, capital. You know, like, they had to – as they came up, they built the relationship. They know each other. And, like, Odell and I just think Odell comes in with too much leverage. And that's a huge part of the problem is that he's making so much money. He's a big star. And like that part of it, I think, makes it difficult on whoever your head coach is going to be coming into a situation like that.
You make a good point that Stefanski was there with those guys for a long time. Yeah. He coached a lot of positions. That's part right. of why he had the buy-in in the locker room, is he had coached right. quarterbacks, and he had coached, a bunch of different spots, you know, come up a certain way. Diggs also is, he's a different personality than Beckham. He can, at times certainly test people's patience. He wants to get the football. He does, it wears on him when he's not, feeling like he's having as much influence on the game as he possibly can. But, he quickly came back after the thing that happened after the Chicago game, which is what you're referencing, where Kirk Cousins had overthrown Adam Thielen on the first drive of the game. That's where Thielen's frustration was just, we got to hit those plays. It wasn't, I think on the outside, people took it as he's tearing into Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins and Thielen are tight. Yeah. It was, we got to make plays. Like, that can't happen. You can't miss that. And Diggs in the same game, he had a big fumble, but he also hadn't been targeted a whole lot until the end of the game. And so he took a couple of days off from work. And eventually, but once he
mental
came
health
back,
days.
Everybody said once he got back, like within a week, he was back to his normal self. And they'll have good days and bad days, but it's not the same level as Beckham. It's not the radioactivity that you get with Beckham. Yeah. In other words, things that would happen to Stephon Diggs or name your really good receiver somewhere do not get the attention that it does with Beckham. And Odell, as much as he, when you talk to him, he's actually a thoughtful guy and seems very reasonable and understands things. For a guy who always says he doesn't want the attention for the non-football stuff, walks into a lot of walls.
Yeah, well, and one of those walls was located on the floor of the Superdome.
Right, these are completely avoidable things.
Right.
Don't hand money to players on the sideline.
When there are cameras everywhere.
Slap a security guy's ass.
Right.
Like, that should be like basic. I should need to. Kevin Stefanski doesn't need to go, now, Odell.
Listen.
In the future, if you could not slap the ass of men you don't know, that would really help. Like, you should need to have that conversation.
Especially if that man is wearing a badge.
But to this extent, Odell's right. If it's anyone else, you're just like, boy, that was a dumb thing to do with Odell. It's here we go again. Everything becomes bigger, and you have to figure out, can you manage that? There's one thing that we have seen will have Odell in a good mood, which is get him the football and win football games.
And I think that what you're talking about, the thing is, like, Odell has shown an unwillingness to live in the reality that he's created for himself. And you say, well, if that was anyone else, well, Odell, that's not your reality. You're a bigger star. You're higher profile.
That's exactly it.
You don't live in the same reality as everybody else. There's a price that comes with your fame, with the money that you're making, with the profile that you have. And whether it's fair or not, the reality is things are taken a different way because of who you are, and you have to understand that that has a certain effect on the people around you.
And he also has shown he can change. Let's not forget this, because if you think back to, and I think it was 2017, where there was a series of incidents on the field. Is that the year he went after Josh Norman? That was 16 or 17. It was in there. And then he had a couple of other games. There was one in Minnesota where he was just like going at it and like three steps out of bounds trying to throw shoulders into people. And it seemed like he was out of control. Then you talk to him after the game and he seemed very under control.
Yeah.
You know, he has not fought a kicking net. He has not broken down crying in the hallway outside the locker room. That stuff didn't happen.
Yeah.
So to some extent, it seems like he has been able to curb the on-the-field things.
Right.
Even though he was dealing with some very frustrating circumstances, playing through a major injury this year and playing on a mediocre team where he wasn't as productive as he's used to.
Like, the other question I have here, too, again, with a head coach who's only been a play caller for 1 year, who is going to have a ton on his plate, is it fair to put that on his plate? Is it fair to say to him, all right, your number one priority, one of your top priorities, not your number one priority, but one of your top priorities when you've got all this other stuff to do, is to manage this personality. And this guy is not only a big personality, he's also the highest paid player on your team and the highest profile player on your team. And oh, by the way, if you can't do it, then it may cause things to unravel in other places. And you weren't on, Tom, when we were talking about it earlier, but like, it's like, I don't think it's any coincidence that the Janoris Jenkins, Dominic Rogers, Cromartie, and Eli Apple go off the reservation within a month of the dog peeing thing in New York. Like, it's just, okay, he can get away with this. Well, I'm going to get away with that. I'm going to get away with that. Everything came in unraveled for Ben McAdoo because he didn't come down on Odell Beckham the first time. And so, like, I don't know if it's fair to, like, Kevin Stefanski, in trying to turn around the Cleveland Browns, already has so much on his plate. Is it fair to put that on his plate?
One of the best things with Stefanski is he has shown he can work with a lot of different people. You do not survive from Brad Childress to Leslie Frazier to Mike Zimmer and keep getting promoted over a, whatever that was, 14-year span if you're not capable of managing different interpersonal dynamics. You know, Childress, who initially hired Stefanski way back in 06 as his assistant, once told me the best part about Kevin is he can keep a cool head when everybody else is losing theirs. So he's not going to get in Odell Beckham Jr.'s face. He is not a screamer. He's not a yell at guy, which I think is a lot of people thought it didn't work with Freddie, so you'd swing back to basically hire Greg Williams part two. You'd hire Jim Schwartz or somebody like that. With Stefanski, he's going to try to find a level where he and Odell can connect. If they can do that, if he can get the buy-in to show up to OTAs, we need you to be a leader. We can't tell you to show up to OTAs, but be a leader.
Yep.
Come learn the offense. Be a part of this. We want to build it. Odell wants to be successful on the field. He does. Again, he sometimes walks into walls. A lot of them are avoidable. But if you can come to a point where it's, we can make this work, we can make you a good player, we can make sure you're healthy, we can take care of you, you know, that's where you got to figure out what to do.
He's got to take the responsibility for his actions.
Guys,
bottom line, like all these little things happen, take responsibility for your actions. And I just, the larger question here is, 7 years in, is a guy capable of changing? Generally, 7 years in, we know what a guy is. Like, he's not 22
anymore.
He's
still really good.
He's still really good, but we don't like can a guy who change who he is as a person is he going to all of a sudden take a hard left turn and be someone else? I mean, look, like even Randy Moss, who he was great his first 2 years in New England, right? Like year three, all of a sudden then he reverts.
And Stefanski was there when Moss came back.
And the barbecue
he understands how one guy can completely change a locker room.
Right.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.